Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The GM of my basketball team that's starting today, it's all new because we finally have our own draft picks again. The clouds have lifted. The rain has left. Sean Marks is who I'm referring to. You got to be thrilled. Does this feel like a new day that next year we got our own pick, baby?
Well, look, it's certainly something, I'm not going to lie, that we've been looking forward to. But at the end of the day, you know, it's been 3 years of creativity and curiosity, and the group here has done I truly believe as good a job as any. It's been a thrill for me to watch these guys all work and grind away and try and figure it all out. And I think we're all pushing each other, and you know, we got a long, long ways to go, but. You know, we're excited about the opportunities that lie ahead.
I'll give you this compliment real quick, because I remember when you guys first took over, a Net fan called in and said, Evan, as a Net fan, what would you do? How would you fix the Nets? And my answer was, I have no idea. And I always have a stupid answer for everything. And so I want to give you credit for this, even though I want to be in the playoffs and I want to be entertained and win a championship someday. I got to hand you the creativity that you have used the last couple of years, using cap room as a weapon to take back a contract and get a draft pick and bring in talent, creativity that you've used. Now, we got to win, all right? Enough of these games. But I do have to hand it to you, because I know as a fan, I had no answer a few years ago, and I think you've made the best of a awful, awful situation that Billy King created. So thank you for that.
Oh, well, no problem. And again, this isn't, you know, one person, two people, five people, 10 people, but, you know, you got to give our coaches credit. I mean, they're establishing that culture, you know, on the court. Our guys, you know, are competing. And I think if what we hear around the league is, man, when we come into Brooklyn, we got to be ready, because the guys compete out there. And Kenny and his staff have done a heck of a job, you know, developing. Whether it's the draft picks or the guys we bring in as free agents and so forth, and the guys are, again, showing that competitive spirit out on the court, which is really important for where we're trying to get to.
All right, Sean, tell us about this kid, Musa, that you took with the 29th pick. Tell us about him.
Yeah, well, look, he's, everyone's talked about the offensive skill set that he has. You know, he's been playing at a very, very high level in Europe for a long time. And, you know, his story is pretty intriguing, where, you know, a young kid leaves home at 11 years old by himself. And next thing you know, he's grinded his way and made a name for himself over there. So we're excited to have a guy like that who has that passion for basketball, again, playing at a high level. Playing in a grown man's league for several years now, so he's going to come in here with a skill set that we're definitely intrigued about. But again, there's definitely some small baby steps to get through for any draft pick, whether it's the first pick in the draft or the 60th pick in the draft. They're going to have to go through, you know, building up their bodies and getting used to the rigors of the NBA life.
A couple of things, and this is really for the update guys around here, because they all want to know, and we trust you to handle this, the correct pronunciations of both of these gentlemen. So give me, what's Moose's first name? How do you pronounce it?
Drazen.
Drazen. Oh, like Drazen. Okay.
Ja, with a J.
Oh, with a J. Drazen. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. How about the kid we got at 40? How do you pronounce that guy's name?
Go with Rhodey. That's the nickname. That's what he goes by. So.
Just Rhodey. Don't even try the last name?
Well, you can go with Rodion Kuros, but go with Rhodey.
How close did you come? Because I'm starting to read you. I'm starting to figure you out, and I like a lot of it. You're aggressive. You want to trade up. And I really thought, I said this to Joe yesterday, Marsh is going to trade up. I don't know where we're picking, but the Nets are going to trade up. How close did you come to trading up?
I would say in a couple different places we came very close. It's all about, you're trying to figure out, is the cost to trade up worth it? And, you know, like most teams, you want to do it on the clock, because you're thinking, is my guy there? Is my target there? and you know, what's it going to cost to get there. So at that point, you know, we didn't feel like it was worth it. We weren't ready to give away the asking price, and at the same time, you know, these two guys, you know, Rhodey and Jasen, we'd been targeting, so we're definitely glad to have them in our family.
How high could you have gone? Could you have gotten into the teens? Was that on the table?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Were you was it on the table to get as high as getting into the teens draft pick wise?
I think we were right around there. So, you know, again, it depends what you're willing to sacrifice.
Right.
And at the same time, I think we like, you know, our young core of guys that we want to build and develop and grow with. You know, we've got some good solid vets on the team, and we want to keep adding to that. And there is something to be said for continuity, but, you know, look, being an ex-player, we all realize that this is a business and things happen.
Is it possible, I'm going to be careful here, is it possible that maybe there was some deals that you couldn't make because there's another deal that you haven't made yet, but you're holding out that you're probably going to make, and because of the cap effect of it, you couldn't do those things because that thing is going to happen. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. look, there's as always, everybody has a lot of things, you know, on their plate and on the table, whether they act on them or not. I think for us, you know, definitely there are some things out there that are, whether it's pending, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens in July, whether it's how we use our cap space and how we move forward with that. But, you know, we have flexibility in the future, which is important.
We'll get to that. I have a random question because I really trust your basketball IQ and how you think of players. Randomly, I'm just coming up with this randomly. What do you think of Dwight Howard, the player? Just curious.
I think Dwight is an exceptional talent. I mean, he's shown what he can do in the league for a long time. You know, he's established himself as an elite center, and like with many of them.
Fair enough. By the way, for everyone listening, this deal that the Nets may make for Dwight Howard can't be announced until July 6th. And for that reason, we have to tap dance around all of these things.
So we can't ask him about it?
I mean,
we can't ask
him.
You're going to buy him out, Sean? You're buying him out?
You know I'm unable to talk about anything that could be pending or what happens. So who knows what happens in July, I would say.
Can I ask a dumb question here? Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Why is it, and this bothers me, there's a couple things about this whole NBA thing that bothers me. Number one, you know, you make these trades on draft nights and the kid's going up there with, like, the hat of a team that he's not going to play for when we know that already, which is absurd, but that's just that's a pet peeve I have. Why do we have to wait to July 1st to announce these trades when we know they're going to happen?
Isn't that 6th?
Or whatever it is. Isn't that, like, ridiculous?
Yeah, I mean, I do sense the frustration. And I to be honest, I mean, I think that's probably something that will get addressed down the future, whereas, you know, guys are walking to the stage wearing a hat of a team that they're not going to go to. So, you know, that's probably something that, you know, maybe can be tweaked in the future. But I would trust that the league office is looking into all those sort of things that, you know, because the media leaks things before it's even finalized on our end. So, you know, now these days with social media and access that, you know, everybody has from the casual fan to the front office, I mean, you know, we're hit many times ahead of time on things that we were just talking about. So it's made it a very, very small world in a small marketplace.
We're talking to Sean Marks. Would you say that, because you mentioned that the price tag on moving up, you know, whether it's assets or cap room, obviously you didn't do it, so there was nothing out there that was great. But do you look at next year's cap room, which you may potentially on July 6th have even more cap room, do you look at that as something sacred that you can't mess around with right now, even more so than the value of players on this roster, that keeping the room that you have next year is maybe one of the most important things and assets you have and you want to continue to hold on to as you look to improve this roster?
Yeah, so I would say it's definitely, you know, it's a huge asset for us. Now, how we use that cap room and when we use that cap room, that'll be yet to be determined. But and a lot of it, to be quite frank, is, you know, it's just having that flexibility because you don't know what's going to come your way all the time. I mean, you can sit here and plan for X, Y, and Z, and next thing you know, you're faced with something completely different. And having the ability to be able to pivot and move in a different direction, you know, whether that's due to cap space or having draft assets and so forth, you know, it's nice to have your chest full of a few of those tools.
You know, and Sean, I know this is the major competition that you guys have, and that, of course, is the Knicks. But what do you think of Kevin Knox? What do you think of him?
Well, I mean, I think he's, you know, an elite player at the college level. I mean, there's some intangibles that that he has with size and length and so forth. And, you know, he's definitely one of the guys that we've all been scouting. So, you know, 30 teams have been scouting all those guys. So, you know, again, without going into details, you know, you wish all these kids well.
Going back to the kids you drafted, are they definitely going to be here? Are they going to be on the Brooklyn Nets this upcoming season, or is there a chance they're stashed over in Europe for another year or two?
Yeah, good question. The plan as it stands now would be we'd like to have them both here. I think, you know, as I've said sort of before, and probably people are sick of hearing it, but I'm definitely going to bet on the development piece that our coaches bring to the table here. That's what our coaches do well, and I would put them up against any staff ever in terms of development piece. They really get it. They have a great relationships with players. They get the buy-in. We've seen it. So I would love, you know, the two young guys that we drafted to be here and to be a part of that, be a part of our performance team, and really start trying to figure out how they can play at the NBA level, get their bodies right, and so forth, and success to follow.
When are we going to know? Like, when will you know for sure, hey, they're going to be at camp, they're going to be on this team, and the buyout that you have to work out all works out well?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope in the next couple of weeks. That's kind of the plan there.
Okay.
D'Angelo Russell, you made a pretty bold move, I thought, bringing him in. And then, why not? It was worth the shot. What about him? Where do you see him now? I mean, are you happy with his development? I mean, do you think he can be a guy that was worthy of being, what was he, the number two or number three pick in the draft a couple of years ago? I mean, how about Russell at this point, Sean?
Well, look, D'Angelo was starting to have a, you know, really come into his own last season before he had that knee injury. And then, you know, obviously that sort of took him off the rails a little bit. But he's back recovering. You know, he's working really hard. And I can test that because I see him in the gym every day. So, you know, like our guys, we want them to have a chip on their shoulder. And I think D'Angelo has that. You know, he wants to be good. You know, I can't question his basketball skills and IQ because, you know, they're at a different level. You know, he makes people better. He makes people better that he plays with. So that's an important asset to have. And you know, now it's about D'Angelo staying healthy, getting him back, getting him right, and ready to go for the season.
I loved the risk. And it really wasn't even a risk because I don't think you risked that much. The move you made in bringing in Jahlil Okafor to see what he has. But we admit it just didn't work out, right? And why didn't it work out is my question for Jahlil.
Well, I think, you know, again, to bring in young talent and see what they've got and to – you know, put them with our group is something we're going to have to be looking at, and whether that's this year or into the future, we'll always be trying to do that. As it pertains to Jahlil himself, you know, it's always tough when you come into a new environment, you know, and it's three quarters of the way through a season or halfway through a season. There's a new environment, there's a new system, and also there's a little bit of like, well, what's he been doing before, and is his body ready to play, and so forth. And you know, I will say this: we have checked in with Jahlil, and he's you know, he's working hard and wants to get back. So
you're not bringing him back, though. You're not bringing him back, right? There's no way.
Well, I mean, I would say, like, you know, I think there's plenty of options out there, and we'll see what happens. I don't know, but that'll be determined in July.
When we hear the ability to sign two max free agents, right, which I think I have a feeling on July 6th, we're going to know that the Nets next year have the ability to sign two max free agents. These images jump in a lot of fans' heads, the images of superstars, Kawhi Leonard, Klay, all this kind of stuff. You're not viewing it that way, though, right? When you build that kind of cap room, are you doing it with an eye on superstars, or are you doing an eye on bringing in good players and having flexibility for maybe a trade for a star who all of a sudden becomes available, who makes a lot of money? Because I think that the way it's written, a lot of fans view it as, oh, the Nets are going to try to get two superstars to come here. That's the way it's kind of perceived. How do you look at it?
Yeah, no, you're right. Again, you've got to have that flexibility, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, who wants to be here? Who's a good system fit? Who fits this team's trajectory? Like, you know, we don't want to skip steps along the way here. You know, we're slowly building, and again, as I've always said, it's going to take time, and we're all aware of it. The coaching staff understands that, ownership understands that. So, to try and fast forward or fast track this, you know, can sometimes lead to mistakes. So, you know, I think we don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, we're talking a year away and how we're going to use, you know, cap space in 2019. You know, I can't tell you how that's going to happen. But again, it's going to be staying flexible and being able to navigate that free agency as well as we can.
When you hear a report that Kawhi Leonard wants out, do you look at that and say, I got to do my due diligence? I have to make a phone call. I got a great connection in San Antonio. Who knows? Maybe they'll do me a favor. Do you have to make that phone call when you hear a report like that come out?
You know, with any, you know, whether it's a draft asset or whether it's a free agent or whether it's, you know, a player that you may think that is, you know, wants out or you may be targeting, you're always making those phone calls and you're always trying to get a pulse on the league. And, you know, it's a relationship business. So, you know, obviously I have relationships in San Antonio, but I have relationships, you know, everywhere. And again, it's, you just kind of wait and see. It's not as it pertains to Kawhi, but sort of the whole league. I mean, I think we all have to do our due diligence on everybody.
And no truth to the rumor that LeBron's going to opt out and go to the Nets? No truth to that rumor?
Are you starting that rumor?
No, I mean, you take him. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure you could work that out, right, Sean?
Well, I think there's probably 30 teams.
I was going to say.
I had to throw that in there for you.
You know, I'm
looking out for you.
We're talking to Sean Marks. I'm not saying it's superstars, but just watching this whole free agent dance over the last decade or so, these guys want to win. Now, most of these free, they want to win. So with that said, I know that, you know, the Nets have their pick again, which I am very excited about. But the truth is, I don't want to be in the lottery. I don't think you want to be in the lottery. I mean, if you're there, you're there. I want to win. Do you think that's important, not only for the fans so we get our money's worth, not only for your job security, for everybody's job security, but for the appeal of free agents to say, not we won 30 games, but we're building a good culture, but to say, hey, we won 43 games and we were in the playoffs. Now come play with us.
Yeah. No, it's a you bring up a great point. I think there's a combination of all of that. Again, it's you want to be able to win. You want to show that you're competing night in and night out. And sometimes that translates to wins. Sometimes it doesn't. I mean, we've made great strides, and Kenny and his staff have made great strides with putting guys in positions to have success on the court. And guys are learning. They're going through some of the hard knocks of, you know, losing close games and so forth. And you know, that's great for our young guys to have to go through. At the end of the day, you want a winning culture, as you mentioned before. So, you know, are we going to win 50 games this year? Look, that's probably a far reach for right, but at the end of the day, you want the outsiders sitting here. Look, I like where they're going. I like where they're heading. They're onto something good. I like the system that, you know, the coaches have put in place there. The culture speaks for itself. You know, again, the scuttlebutt that goes around the league. If players leave here and say, "Hey, I liked my time in Brooklyn," obviously the city speaks for itself, and the marketplace is second to none. So. And then, you know, our committed ownership. So, you know, there's a lot of positives, you know, about where this team, you know, could be and whether it's a year, 2 years, and so forth down the road.
The development of Jared Allen, how about him? How about where he's at after his rookie year?
Yeah, look, I don't think Jared thought that he was going to get a starting role in his rookie year. But, again, he's shown that he can live up to it, you know, and he can go through. He needs to be battle tested. I mean, a little bit of that. So,
right.
It was a big change for him to go through 82 games. But, you know, from a casual fan's perspective to a GM to a coach, I think you look and you see some of the things that he can bring out there with just the athletic ability, the versatility, and how he plays the game. That it's pretty intriguing to see where he can go, and really, that's going to be on his development and how he keeps, you know, what course he stays on.
Well, Sean, good job so far. I'm excited about the fact that the Nets have their picks again. This means a lot to me as a fan. I know it means a lot to you. Yeah. And, wait, one more thing. You're going to trade Spencer Dinwiddie or is he going to be here next year? Quickly.
Spencer's on our team right now.
Okay, right now. Mm-hmm. All right, I see what you're doing. All right.
They're all there.
They're all there.
You're going to tell you that?
Yes, that's true. All right, Sean, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sean.
Always.
Good luck next year. Good luck coming
Thanks
into the
much.
Season.
Bye-bye.
Sean Marks, the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets. It is a joke that it's not his fault that they have these stupid rules
it's
where
ridiculous.
We can't talk about the trade.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the NBA's got to do something with that, and they got to do something with the nonsense on draft night.
Yeah, I think
they really do.
I actually think last night's going to cause change because I think what happened with Mikal Bridges
right.
and his mom
yeah,
caused
right,
that.
Right, right.
if I had to guess.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, and that's a good thing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.